What? Oh, that's it. Amen. Amen. Yep. If you have a Bible this morning, go to Hezekiah chapter 2. Oh, that's right. There is no Hezekiah. I'm sorry. I apologize. I know everybody was looking real hard, but it's not even in the index. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I know you have Joshua memorized by now, but just humor me and go there. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. That's just before the book of Judges, right after the book of Deuteronomy. Joshua chapter 1, just before Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us understand the admonition that you've given here to Joshua. Lord, I believe it's an admonition that we as Christians in this particular day and age can apply to our lives. That you've commanded us, Lord, to be strong and of a good courage. You've commanded us, Lord, not to be afraid or be dismayed. Lord, we need to not only realize, but put it in our heart, etch it upon our mind that doesn't matter where we go, doesn't matter what happens, you're there with us. Help us this morning, Lord, as we look through the scriptures and find out how we can become better prepared to serve you. Father, I thank you and I praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. All right. Have not I commanded thee? You know what? It sounds like a commandment. Does it sound like a commandment to you? It does, doesn't it? What's the first thing he says here? Be strong and of a good courage. How many people are strong and of a good courage? I don't know if I could raise my hand or not. Sometimes I'm very encouraged, but sometimes I'm discouraged. What I need to do is I need to be encouraged. Well, I'm supposed to be of good courage, aren't I? Go to 2 Corinthians 11. Let me give you a little illustration about someone who was strong and had good courage. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to look at the Bible character here. And if anybody could say they were strong and have a good courage, it would be this man here. And look how he gives an admonition to the Corinthians here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You think you've been through it? You know what? Sometimes I think, oh, nobody goes through what I go through. And I believe all Christians have that attitude. If God only knew what I had to put up with. Well, God doesn't know what you have to put up with. He might purposely have you be put up with it so he can trust you. See how much he can give you. I don't know, anyway. 2 Corinthians 11, starting verse number... let's start in verse number 22. The Bible says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten. Is that what it says? And what was he beaten with? Have you ever been beaten with a rod? It hurts. Whether it's a small rod or a big rod, it hurts. Anyway, we'll continue on here. Once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And you said you've been through it? Did Paul go through it? It sounds like he went through it, didn't it? Okay, now let me ask you a question. Did he give up? Did he quit because it got too hard? He said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I've finished my course. One thing that we need to realize from what Paul is saying here, that we can be strong and have a good courage. You know why? It doesn't matter. The Lord's going to be with us. Right? Is the Lord with you right now? Is the Lord with us in these financial troubled times? Is the Lord with us in these spiritual troubled times? The Lord's with us, isn't He? You know what I know for sure? Nothing's going to change till the Lord comes back. Oh, it'll get a little better here and a little worse here, but nothing's going to change. Man is still going to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Man is still going to think that he can change it, that he can make a difference. Well, he can't, and he won't. This is the problem. We haven't learned from our mistakes, so we're going to just keep making them. Christians, we haven't learned from our mistakes either. We're going to just keep making them. We're going to say, well, it's not important for me to do this because I'm saved and, you know, I'm going to heaven anyway, so why should I work extra hard for God? Why should I do a little extra for God? I mean, He only died for me, right? He only gave His best for me. Why should I care anyway? I got to watch myself. I don't want to. Philippians chapter 4. If you're in 2 Corinthians, keep turning towards the end of the Bible. You'll come to Galatians. You'll come to Ephesians. You'll come to Philippians. You'll come to 1, 2, 3. Then you'll come to 4. Philippians verse 4. Or chapter 4, verse 13. You all know this. You've probably even quoted it 3 or 4 times in your life. But what has happened in some lives in Christianity, they're just black ink on white paper. You haven't hid the words of God in your heart. You haven't studied to show yourself approved. You haven't. Well, I'm sorry. I haven't. I don't know about you. Look what it says here. Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do some things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That what your Bible says? I can do the things that, well, that I allow God to do through Christ. How many things can I do through Christ? You think that's true? How many of you think that's true? What's the problem then? Well, you think it's true or you don't. Right? Either this is 100% true or it's just a book of words. If I can do all things through Christ, why am I having such a problem? All together now. You're not doing them through Christ. I'm doing them through my own intelligence, my own money, my own strength. It'll never work. I'm not smarter than God. I'm not wiser than God. My ways are not God's ways, and God's ways are not my ways, and they should be. My thoughts are not His thoughts, and that they should be. There's things that I should think about, things that I should do as a Christian, as a Christian. Am I doing them? You don't know, but I do. I'm not. Now listen, please. I have my moments. How many people have their moments? I should be having my hours. I should be having my days. Well, you know, I was a good Christian last week. Well, no, I can't say that. I had my moments yesterday. What is that? I'm willing to give God a little tiny bit of my life when He has bought me with a price. How much am I supposed to give Him? How much? All? 2 Timothy chapter 2. You got Philippians, you got Colossians, you got 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, and then you got 2 Timothy. chapter 2, look at verse number 1. I'm supposed to be strong and of a good courage. Have not I commanded thee? That's what he told Joshua. You know what I can use? I can use this as a stepping stone for my future Christian life. I'm supposed to be strong and of a good courage. You know what I know for sure? The government is not going to be able to save me. Only Jesus could save me. And he did, right? So I'm not supposed to put confidence in man. I'm supposed to trust in the Lord. I'm not supposed to put confidence in princes, in governments, in people that are high up. I'm supposed to put my confidence and my trust in the Lord. The problem is I'm not doing it all the time. I had a preacher say one time, don't tell me you trust God when you're sitting in your house. Tell me you trust God when they've repossessed it and now you're homeless. Then tell me you trust God. Second Timothy 2 verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How many of you realize that you have a grace that's coming that's unbelievable? Do you know what the grace I have? I have a grace that there's no way I could have ever earned it or deserved it. But it's given to me. And I need to be strong in that grace. I need to be so strong in the grace that I got from God that I can give grace to other people. When they're not doing, quote unquote, what I think they should be doing. Like I'm the Holy Spirit or something. I got to be careful, brothers and sisters, guys. I got to be real careful. All right, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Go back from Timothy. You know where Philippians was? Go back and you'll see Philippians. Or you'll see Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. We're supposed to be strong and have a good courage. The Bible says, had not I commanded thee, be strong and have a good courage. This is the time to be strong and have a good courage. Banks are failing. Businesses are closing. People are getting to be more wicked all the time. It's pretty sad, isn't it? When we can pass laws in a state that says we must protect the chickens, but it's okay to abort the babies. Now, wait a minute. You mean they actually passed that law? Well, yeah, that's what they did. True? It must be just because the Bible says there's going to come a time when they're going to worship the creature more than the Creator. Is that kind of like, it's kind of like, this is true. Right? And you know, we have a great opportunity right now in front of us to see the Bible coming to life in our very presence. We are finding people falling from the faith. We are finding people turning to wicked ways. We are knowing that good is bad and bad is good. Is it evident? Did the Bible say it would be evident? Did it say we would have to be in perilous times? Are we in perilous times? So maybe we ought to pay attention to what else it says too, right? Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and have a good courage. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know what I know for sure? God's in charge. I mean, I don't like it that God allowed Obama, your mama, to be president, but he did. Right? Yeah. What are we going to do about it? Let's pray for him. Let's pray to get saved. That would kind of like solve a lot of things, wouldn't it? And then God's going to take care of it anyway, but let's pray. Let's pray to get saved. And pray for everybody that he's going to appoint to his new regime to get saved. It's kind of scary when our enemies are glad that the president got elected. Anyway, that's another story. All right, let's go to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. What time I'm supposed to finish here? Oh, don't say that. During a reasonable time, right?
Okay.
Well, we have a... All right, let's bow our heads. I'll just phone in the message later. It's a joke. All right, Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. If you have a magic marker, mark this one up here. Fear thou not, for I am thy, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Is that what your Bible says? Do you believe that's true? Did it kind of make your whole day to hear that? help us, Lord. Go back to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Might as well keep your hand there because we're going to keep going back there. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? That's what it says, right? The first admonition, be strong and of a good courage. The Lord's never going to leave thee. He's going to uphold thee with the right hand of his righteousness. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Now watch this. Be not afraid. You know, there's a Bible story about a young lad who was guarding the sheep. He had, I believe he had, was it 6 or 7 brothers? How many brothers did David have? You Bible scholars. Well, let's just say he had some. I don't want to confuse anybody. But he had some brothers. He was the youngest of the group. And I'm going to say he was probably, well, I know for sure he was younger than 20. Otherwise, he'd have been out with during the battle, the war with the Philistines. And we had Goliath, and he was what is known as the giant of the day. Okay? And he was told to take some bread and cheese down to his brothers at the battlefield, and David came down there, and everybody was kind of hunkered down in the ditch that they dug for themselves, the little foxhole, so to speak, and scared to death because the giant was out there ranting and raving about their family and saying things like that about their God, and they were scared to death because he was like a huge man. The Bible says he was probably, it depends on which kind of cubit you're looking at, he was anywhere from 10 to 12 feet tall. That's like a large man, right? Anyway. So David goes down there, and I'm paraphrasing here without reading all the scripture, and he says, wait a minute, you're afraid of this guy and he's blaspheming God? What's wrong with you guys? Isn't God on our side? Let's go out there and take care of him. And they said, well, you're so brave, why don't you do it? He said, okay, I will. And he did. You know what he wasn't? He wasn't afraid. He knew God would take care of him. How do you know that? Because he'd already killed a lion, he'd already killed a bear, because they were after his sheep, and he was a little shepherd boy. You know what I know? I'm a sheep of God. And Jesus Christ is the great shepherd, isn't he? He's going to take care of me, no matter what attacks me. And David ran out there with a little sling. He had 5 stones, and he took one and whoosh, 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 hit Goliath in the noggin, knocked him out, went over there and cut off his head. He wasn't afraid. God, the battle is God's. Listen, you're going through a battle right now, it's not your battle, it's God's. The world don't like, it's not that they don't like you, they don't like your God. They don't like the rules of your God, they don't like anything that your God has. How dare God do that? That's the whole thing about non-Christians. Well, if God can do that, I want nothing to do with God. Idiots. God can do what he wants. God is so, well, anyway, I can start ranting and raving. Luke chapter 12, I got to slow down here. Luke chapter 12. I get so frustrated I could just bite my cheek. Luke chapter 12, or bite your cheek, one or the other. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, look down there in verse number 4. Watch what the Lord says. Look at the admonition He gives people that are afraid of things. Here's what we need to be afraid of. And as Christians, we don't have to be afraid because we've already taken care of this. We did this at Calvary. Look at this now. Luke chapter 12, look at verse 4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. That's who to fear. We don't have no fear of him anymore, because there's nothing anybody can do now. If you're born again and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you are going to heaven. And there's nothing anybody can do to stop that. The devil can't do anything to you till he gets permission from God. Now listen, he might get permission. God just might want to try you. God just might want to test you. See where your faith is at. But you should be strong and have a good courage. You're not supposed to be afraid. You sure, preacher? Yeah, Proverbs 29. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and have a good courage. Be not afraid. Now, I'm not saying to be silly about fear. I'm just telling you, don't be afraid of things that it doesn't matter. Okay, you lose all your money. You lose your job. You lose your health. You lose your family. They're temporary. Temporary. It breaks my heart that I put so much emphasis on things that don't matter to God at all, when I could put emphasis on things that do matter to God. Sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. That's what matters to God. How much stuff I got? It's all going to get burned up anyway, right? What treasures do I have in heaven? Is it just wood, hay, and stubble? Or do I have gold and silver and precious stones? The Lord gave me a talent. What have I given back to Him? Proverbs 29, look at verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Is that what your Bible says? You think that's true? Then how many of us have been in a snare lately? Because we feared man. We feared what's going to happen with the stock market. We feared what's going to happen in Iran. We feared. Are we praying for the peace of Jerusalem? Are we praying that the people that are in charge of things in this country would seek to be better relationships with Jerusalem? We're not supposed to forsake Israel, and it seems like that's the road we're going down. And God help us if we do. We're supposed to pray for them. We're supposed to try to be a blessing to them. That's God's people. I know they're estranged right now, but they're still God's people. Romans chapter 8. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. That's what God is saying. He's commanding us to do that. He commanded Joshua, and look what happened if anybody gets a chance. Read the book of Joshua and see how many times he defeated numerous or outnumbered by foes, and yet still, because God was with him, he became the victor. You know what I have right now in my Christian life? I have foes that are innumerable. I have more people that are against me than are for me. Christianity is a minority in this world. But my God is bigger than any majority. Because He always is a majority. Right, praise the Lord. All right, Romans 8, look at verse number 15. Romans chapter 8, verse number 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God does not want us to be afraid. Are you saved? Are you saved? Then you have been adopted by God, haven't you? You are His child, right? For better or worse, you're His child. Now listen, God might not like you sometimes and might not like what you're doing sometimes, but God will never stop loving you. Well, look at verse number 38 and 39. For I am persuaded. Is that what it says? That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Does God love Jesus Christ? Are you in Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ in you? So God loves you, right? What do I have to be afraid of? I don't have anything to be afraid of. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. I go through some hard times. I have trouble with family members. Anybody here have trouble with family members? I have trouble with brethren. And I use that term loosely. Anybody have trouble with brethren? That would be like other Christians. Please don't look around. I have trouble with the world. Anybody have trouble with the world? I have trouble with sin. That would sneak up on me. But I'm not supposed to be afraid. Now, I should have fear of it. I should pay attention to it. But I'm not supposed to be afraid of it. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid. Go back to Joshua 1. Joshua 1 verse 9. Joshua 1 verse 9. Joshua 1 verse 9. The Bible says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Dismayed is a Bible word for worried, concerned. Most humans have an inkling to worry over things that just don't matter. We worry about the future. We worry about the past. We worry about the present. We just do way too much worrying. And you know what I know for sure? Worrying never solved anything. Well, how'd you solve that? Well, I just worried until it went away. It was tough, but I did it. Before I went to bed every night, I worried until I fell asleep. Well, I woke up this morning, I started worrying again. Anybody here have trouble getting to sleep at night? Anybody here? You know, because of the conditions during the day and stuff like that. Here's what you do. You write down the things that you worried about on a little piece of paper, and you slide it under your Bible, and you say, now, God, I'm going to go to sleep, and I left you a little list to worry about tonight. You're going to be up all night anyway. So I'm going to get some sleep, and when in the morning, I'll start worrying about it again. Well, right? We're not supposed to be dismayed. You know what I know for sure? It doesn't matter if it's right or... Go to Romans 14. Romans 14. Romans 14. Romans 14. I'm here at Romans 8 and I'm moving all over the Bible looking for Romans. No wonder I couldn't find it. Romans 14. Look at verse 8. Romans 14, verse 8. What do I need to be dismayed about? What do I need to be worried about? I belong to God. Right? Romans 14, verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Is that true?
Yes.
It is true, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, how many people here have concern about their health? Please don't raise your hand. But there's people here that have concern about their health, right? Whose health is it? It's God's health, isn't it? Whether you live or die, don't you belong to God? Okay. Now, how many people try to take care of themselves? I'm not asking anybody to raise their hand. This is like rhetorical questions. Don't want anybody to holler up and jump up and say, amen, brother. But, you know what we're supposed to do? I'm supposed to present my body a living sacrifice. Is that what it says? All right, Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. You thought you'd get away with it, didn't you? Deuteronomy 31. I'm just trying to show you scripture so you know that what the Lord says is true. He's commanded you to be strong, and then He's given you every opportunity to be strong and have a good courage. It's all set out for you in the Bible. He's telling you not to be afraid, and then He's showing you how you can get to that point of not being afraid. And now He's asking you never to be dismayed. Don't worry about things. And then he's going to show you how you can not worry about things. Hey, you're His. Let Him worry about it. Lord, you want me to be sick? Well, praise God, then, Lord, I'm going to be sick for you. You want me to be healthy? Well, praise the Lord, I want to be healthy for you. Because, Lord, I belong to you. You belong to Him? Well, we say that, but do we really mean it? Do you really believe it? What if He was asking you to do something? What if He was asking you to sacrifice your child? What if He was asking you to stop doing what you love? Well, we say we're His. We say we trust in Him. We say we're strong and of a good courage. We say we're not afraid. We say we don't worry about things. Why are we in such a condition? You know why, don't you? Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Isn't that what David said? I will fear no evil. What a thing to be, to have so much confidence in God that it don't matter what happens. Well, God's in charge. I'm going through a trial, I'm going through a test right now in my Christian life. God wants to see, am I a believer? Am I a doer? Am I just a hearer? Am I trusting in Him, or am I worried about what's going to happen? Are you going through a time? You're going through a trial? Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. That's what it says, Proverbs chapter 3. Look down there in verse number 26. The Bible says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. The Lord can be my confidence. He wants to be my confidence. Am I allowing Him to be my confidence? How much confidence am I putting in Him? You know what I've done? I've trusted that this Bible is true with my eternal soul. Don't you think I ought to trust it with all the little tiny things too? Trust it for my finances, trust it for my health, my family. trust that God always wants the best for me? How many people believe God always wants the best for you? Always? Always? What's the murmuring and complaining about then? But Lord, you just don't understand. I thought it would be different. I thought it would be easy. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, almost at the very end of the Bible, you'll find 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. It'll be just before Revelation. You'll have Judas. Oh, I'm sorry. Seeing if you're paying attention. 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. What is it? What's that? Jeremiah? Oh, no, that's right. It's Jude. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 4. Verse 4 and verse 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. The Bible says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Is that what your Bible says? All right. Are you born of God? You are? You mean you can overcome the world? Is that what it just said? Now, it's either true or it's not. You know what the world does, at least in my life? It bothers me all the time. I can't get away from it. But I know that because I am born of God, I can overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I don't have to be dismayed. I don't have to be worried about the world. My Lord, my God, has overcome the world. And I can too. I just have to want to. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. I know we looked at it before, but let's look at it again and we'll close. Please, no clapping. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Maybe you ought to underline this one. Talking about the forgotten commandments of God. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Now Isaiah 41:10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Brothers and sisters in Christ, because of the times that we're in right now, the perilous times, we need to begin, if we haven't already, to start trusting God more. It's not going to get easier. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Now the question is, what about you? Well, preacher, I don't know how to get closer to God. The Bible says if you draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. If you look for him, you'll find him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you right now could raise your hand and say, "I'm going to heaven when I die, praise God"? Would you raise your hand and let me see them? I see those hands, I see them. Now, if you couldn't raise your hand and you're not for sure you're going to heaven when you die, do you want to go to heaven? You don't have to raise your hand, just nod your head up and down. You want to go to heaven when you die? Is that what you want to do? Now, if you do, you know how you can do that? Here's how you can do that. First of all, you must tell God that you've done wrong. The Bible calls it sin. God, I'm a sinner. In your own words, however you do it, just say, God, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus Christ died on a cross for sinners. Therefore, he died for me. I know he was buried, and he resurrected on the third day, and now sits next to God in heaven. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then you need to tell God you believe that. Confession is made with the mouth, and belief comes from the heart. But you must believe that you've sinned. You must believe that Jesus Christ died for sinners. And you must believe that if you ask him to save you, he will. So when you die, you can go to heaven. This is something I can, if I could do it for you, listen, I'd do it for you. But I can't. It's something that you have to do individually. You yourself. Right where you sit, in your own words, God, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry. I believe Jesus Christ died for sinners. I want him to save me right now. That's all it takes. I'm not going to call anybody up. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But if there's anybody in here this morning that did that today, would you just quietly raise up your hand and I'll pray for you? I won't call out your name. Now, if there's any Christians in the room that would like some prayer this morning about fearing less and trusting God more, if you raise your hands, I'll pray for you. I see those hands. I see them. Heavenly Father, Lord, not only did you see the hands, but you saw the hearts. Lord, help us. Help us to be the Christians that are of a good courage. Help us to be Christians that are strong and not afraid and not worried. Help us, Lord, to trust in you. Father, I thank you and I praise you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Let's stand together this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed. We need to come to the altar and ask God to give you courage. A lot of Christians real upset about the way the economy's going, the way our elections went, type of things that, I mean, it's not just Christians, it's the rest of the world too. And can I tell you, whatever your politics may be or however you feel about the new president, I don't care who got elected, outside of Jesus Christ sitting on a throne, all the problems aren't going to be solved. Politics can't solve them. The government never has fixed an economic problem, really. They pretty much just added more weight to it. And this country's gone through real bad things before, and it's come out of them before, and it had nothing to do with what the government did. It just had to do with the fact that God maybe purged us through war or began to bless us again because we began to recognize him again. Brother Kim was talking in Sunday school about the commandments. What about the things Jesus commanded? One thing he commanded often was fear not. He said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. That's a commandment. Let not your heart be troubled. And when it is troubled, it's because we're spending too much time looking at what's going on here instead of considering what he has done for us and will do for us. I'm not saying harder times aren't coming for Christians. We've never been promised an easy time. Most of Christian history is filled with accounts of people who've been through torture, persecution. On this continent, on American soil, under the governance of colonies, before the Constitution gave us the Bill of Rights, Baptist preachers were arrested because they wouldn't be part of the recognized state church. And we're not back there yet. We've got a lot to be thankful for. But even if we get closer to that, the commandment from Jesus still is, fear not them which can kill the body. It's easier to say than it is probably to do when you're faced with it. But the Holy Spirit in us can give us that courage. And the most important thing for us right now is just to walk close to God, to be filled with the Spirit. Spend time in His Word, because His Word will give us the faith both by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. To have the kind of faith that will keep you strong in the midst of trials, you've got to have a lot of hearing the Word of God. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. And by the way, it's just a note, if anybody is watching the services now, we won't have the evening service at our normal time, but probably around 2 o'clock if you want to turn on the internet again and watch us on the internet if anybody's watching. We'll have a good time of singing the testimonies. Usually around 2 o'clock when we get back in here. Let's ask God's blessing. Whatever comes in now that is not designated specifically as tithe, this is going to be considered a love offering for Brother Ken. And so give accordingly. And if you need to mark it to designate it, but otherwise, if it's not designated as tithe, it will go to Brother Ken. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the message this morning, and it's timely because there is among Christians great fear, among those on the left of the political spectrum there's great hope and desire, but the fact is they're all going to be disappointed. Lord, we've elected conservatives and we've been disappointed. Now they've elected their side and they're going to be disappointed. We're all going to be disappointed that Lord, there's still trouble in the world. And there's going to be trouble. And even after the Lord Jesus Christ has reigned for 1,000 years, you're going to let the devil out and he's going to stir up trouble again. Until that day when there's a new heaven and new earth, there's going to be trouble. But thank you that we have you to lean upon, and Lord, you to carry us through. And your command to us is, be not afraid. Be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Lord, you're with us. You promised to be with us to the end of the world. Help us to trust in those promises and not to fear, as you said. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sweetest name I know. In my heart alone, keeps me singing as I go. All my life is wrecked by sin and strife, it's fulfilled my heart with pain.